few years back, while we were on vacation at St. George Island, Florida, we were renting a vacation house with Jen's mom and dad and with her sister, and so we were in this high three-story vacation house out on an island, and suddenly Eden, who may have been 5 or 6 at the time, burst in the door and said, "There's a bald eagle outside." And so we all rushed to the deck and we looked, and sure enough, there was this majestic eagle. We were in awe, and I know that we've seen animals before and birds before, but something about this was different. I don't know if it was because we were closer, we were higher up, but to be in the presence of one of God's creatures doing what God created it to do. So when we went home after that vacation, our family started doing eagle research, and we found a great deal of lessons that we could learn in reference to the beauty and purpose of one of God's creatures. Tonight we're going to be looking at this, and as you can guess from our study in the book of Deuteronomy, we have a passage in Deuteronomy chapter 32 where our God gives us a heavenly, eagle-soaring perspective of His care for His children. And we're going to read about that in Deuteronomy chapter 32, starting in verse 9. As you turn in there, I want to take a moment and thank the elders for inviting me to be with you this weekend. Thank all of the members here for your faithful attendance and your encouraging attendance and attention. And thank the visitors that are here. It's good to have the Fosters here. Good friends with them for a long time back. And what I notice, Jen and I notice about this congregation, one thing that stands out to me is you're very intentional about doing your best in serving God in the details, particularly about worship and making sure that God is glorified. And I can tell that your attention to God's word and to His message and to glorifying Him in worship is something that you're always trying to improve and excel on. And so there's several things that y'all are doing that I'm learning from. And so thank you for that example. And also I spent a lot of time talking about the Goodalls, but I'm also very excited to be here with Chris. And I was talking to Jen, Chris, about our phone calls. Every time I receive a phone call from you, the thing that encourages me about Chris is he always makes me laugh. I told Jennifer that you always bring something to the conversation. You know, when you talk and you interact with some people don't bring anything, or they may discourage you, or they may have different things that are challenging in their lives. But when I think about Chris, he brings up something he studied that last week, and he talks about some new sermon he's working on, and then he tells me about a good source where I can find some information, and it's very uplifting to me. And even in just a short 5-10 minute conversation, I'm renewed and I'm inspired and I'm encouraged. And that's a reflection of your diligent work as a gospel preacher. And I can tell that you are still a very diligent student of God's word, and your faithful work is an encouragement to me a great deal. And I want you as a congregation to realize what a blessing you have in being a part of this congregation. Where we are excited, and I'm a part of a group that started in 2002, and so we're renting a building, and we're close to buying property and trying to get a building. And I look at what you have here, and I think we're trying to get there, but you're blessed because you have a building, you're blessed because you have elders, you're blessed because you have a faithful gospel preacher, you're blessed because you have a history of faithful members that are caring about the Lord's work. You have this tremendous foundation that a lot of congregations don't have. And so don't take that for granted, and realize the growth that's going on around you, and just keep staying faithful, and realize where God has given you these opportunities to just continue growing. And so very thankful to have this weekend with you, and I wanted you to know how much of an encouragement you are to Jennifer and I. So as we want to read in Deuteronomy chapter 32, we've been looking, since this is our last lesson, just to review where we're headed and to maybe let our visitors know what we've been talking about. We've been looking at lessons about family from the book of Deuteronomy. So Deuteronomy, as we look at the context, Moses is 120 years old, and he is speaking to young families who are about to go into the promised land. And he's reminding them about the unfaithful families from 38, 40 years earlier who shrunk back and they were afraid of the giants and they died in the wilderness. And so the challenge for us this whole weekend has been, what kind of family are you going to be a part of? Are you going to be a faithless family or are you going to be a faithful family? And we've looked at five lessons so far, and the first one is that faithful families have God as first. And you don't put your family first, you put God first. So it's a matter of priorities. And so determined to walk away from here saying, our family priorities are going to be God, no matter what. And we've dealt with some of those questions about what do you do in this circumstance with your spouse or with your children or with responsibilities and connection to relationship in the world. And you just have to walk away from here and say, no matter what, I don't care what the storms are, what the fortified walls look like, or what the giants look like, God is first. And I'm not going to be afraid. We're trusting God. And then on Friday night, we talked about the greatest commandment in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that you can get all the rules and regulations right, but if you don't have love, remember Jesus said, he quoted from Deuteronomy 6 and said, this is the greatest commandment. And if we don't get the greatest commandment right, then nothing else matters. And so you need to build your family on a love of God and a love of others. And that love is an all-consuming love, and that love is the foundation. On this hang the law and the prophets, everything else. So it's not saying I love God and I can do whatever I want. It's saying that my motivation for everything I do for my wife and my children and my brethren and in evangelism when I go to work is all based on the fact I'm doing it because I love God, because He is the one true God and I love everything He loves and I'm going to stay faithful. So priorities, love. Saturday night we talked about the challenging subject of teaching our children. And I want you just to remember that whatever area you are, if you're an elder, a Bible class teacher, a grandmother, a college student, a parent, we all have interactions with young people, and recognize that you have an event, you have this advantageous opportunity, because when children are younger, that's the opportune time to teach them the gospel. And so don't feel that you're wasting your time as a young mother or an exhausted father, or that you're missing out as a grandfather, but take time for the young people, because that's when children make the decision to serve God or to fall away. So your priorities, love, teach your children. This morning we looked at the dangers that threaten our families, and how even when we want to give our children gifts, and we want to give them success, and we want to give them financial security, and we even want them to lead them in ways of righteousness, if we trust in the gift instead of trusting in the giver, then we lose everything, and we are led into dangerous ways. So priorities, love, teach, beware. And then this morning we looked at celebrating God as a family in reference to our worship. And so tonight our topic is in reference to having soaring faith, and this leads us to what we're talking about with the eagle. And so with that lengthy review introduction, let's jump into our text in Deuteronomy 32:9. But the Lord's portion is His people. So Moses is giving, he has written this song. If you read the context of the song, it's not a very uplifting song because there's some judgment in it. But in this song, he speaks about the provision and protection of God, and he describes how God cares for His people as an eagle would care for her young. The Lord's portion is His people. Jacob has allotted His allotted heritage. He found him in a desert land and in the howling waste of the wilderness. He encircled him. He cared for him. He kept him as the apple of His eye. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and flutters over its young, spreading out His wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the high places of the land, and he ate the produce of the field, and he made him draw honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock. You read this description, and it's beautiful. But I want to key in on one word that's a question here in verse 11. So you see this picture that God encircled His people, like He's protecting them, He encircled them, and then we also see He cared for them, He provided protection, and He kept them, He treasured them. But then not only that, we see in verse 11, it says, like an eagle that stirs up its nest. So in this language, it's all very beautiful. You see this word, stirs up his nest. So maybe if I, after services, went into Chris's office and stirred things up, do you think he'd be happy with me? Or someone comes over to your house and stirs things up, or Eden has this massive hamster mansion that she showed me what she needed me to build. And it's this condominium. It's massive, and she's very careful about it. But if I went and stirred up your hamster's home, she would be very upset. So what is that talking about? How does God care for us? So what we're going to see is that in this imagery of God like the eagle, He prepares a nest, He stirs the nest, and He empties His nest. And so what do you know about eagles? Did you know that an eagle will spend about 3 months flying over an area looking for the best place to prepare a nest? And when it finds this high, protective, safe place, then it starts preparing the nest. And from my research, largely from Google, we find that an eagle will go and gather first at the bottom of the nest. Will gather sharp rocks and broken branches and thorns, and we'll put that on the bottom of the nest. And we're going to find out in a little bit why the eagle does that. And then after that, it makes a soft, protective bed, and she guards the nest from predators. Then when the eggs are laid, it'll take 36 days for the eggs to hatch. And then for the next 12 weeks, this eagle will take care of her young. An eagle is very intentional about preparing a nest. Well, we read in this text that God is like this eagle who prepared a nest for His children. And we look at this. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 19. This is part of a song of Moses that God wanted His children to remember, and including in this song is this part about God preparing the nest. Now therefore, write down this song for yourselves and teach it to the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. And then Moses taught them this song. So absorb the truth of this. Well, how did God prepare a nest for Israel? Well, do you remember that God sent Jacob and his sons, so about 70 of his children, went to Egypt, and they had a protective nest in Goshen. We read about this in Genesis chapter 45. I'm going to go back to Genesis 45 and verses 9 through 11. So Moses, at the end of the wilderness wanderings, is telling this history lesson. He says, you know what? When there was a famine in the land, God sent His people to Goshen, and He made a protective nest for them. Genesis 45 and verse 9. Hurry, go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, that all that you have, there I will provide for you. God sent Joseph ahead of his family, went through difficult times, and he was in a position where he could provide for them. Then turn now to Exodus chapter 8 and verses 22 through 23. So during a time of plagues, when God was proving that the gods of Egypt were false, He's crushing the gods of Egypt, He rains down these plagues upon the Egyptians. What does He do for God's people, His own people? In Goshen, they're protected in this nest from the predators and from the difficulty. In Exodus chapter 20, chapter 8, and in verses 22 to 23.
But on that day I will set apart the land of Goshen, where my people dwell, so that no swarms of flies shall be there, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. Thus I will put a division between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall happen. And you know the story about how God protected his people that were in Goshen from all of the different plagues. So an eagle prepares his nest to protect the young from predators. God prepared a nest for his children in Egypt and Goshen. And God prepares a nest for us. God protects us from the sinful world that we live in. And listen to these passages where you see that God is depicted as an eagle that cares for his young and puts us under the shadow of his wing. Psalm 17:8, hide me under the shadow of your wings. Is that your relationship with God? Do you recognize his protection as he hovers his wings over you in his protective nest? Psalm 36:7, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore, the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Are you seeking shelter out in the world? Are you believing that Satan will protect you and will give you purpose and happiness and pleasure? If you flee from God, you will have no protection. Psalm 57, verses 1 through 3. Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me. For my soul trusts in you, in the shadow of your wings. I will make my refuge. Until these calamities have passed by, I will cry out to God Most High, to God who performs all things for me. He shall send from heaven and save me. This week, are you under the shadow of the wings of God? There are those that reject the protection of God. And you know that picture, it's of a hen, not an eagle, but in Matthew 23:7, where Jesus said, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. God prepared a nest for Israel. God prepares a nest for us. But now let's look at how God prepares a nest. God stirs the nest. So what the eagle does next is that the eagle one day will turn back to the nest and will not have food for its young. And then she'll hover above the nest, flapping her wings, and then she will start causing turmoil. And then she'll start taking the padding out of the nest and stirring it up. And all that's left are the sharp objects. And so it comes time that the eaglets are not comfortable at home anymore, and the food's not coming anymore. And why is the mom doing that? You look at that and you think, well, that sounds like that would be something hateful or mean. But the eagle that stays in his nest will never learn how to fly. And actually, they find that if you have eaglets that are separated from its mother at birth or when they're young, that they'll never learn how to fly, that they need to learn to fly from their mother. Is it because the eagle is unloving or uncaring? It's not. Because there is a motivation that the mother is saying, it's time for you to get out of this nest, and it's time for you to do what you're made to do, and that is to soar and not stay in this nest. Well, God did the same thing with Israel, and God stirred up Israel's nest. So look at Exodus chapter 1. In Exodus chapter 1, things started getting difficult for the people of God, and he sent slavery upon them in the early context in Exodus 1 and verse 13. So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves, made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves. And then the people cried out to God. Look at Exodus chapter 3 in verses 7 through 8. I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry because of their taskmasters. For I know their sorrows. I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, to bring them up from the land to a good land and large, a land flowing with milk and honey. God stirred up their nest. God didn't send them to Egypt so that they would stay in Goshen for the rest of their lives. He sent them to protect them, to give birth to them, to prepare them for their purpose, and that was to go to the promised land. So God made things difficult and made them uncomfortable in their current situation, and he stirred up their nest. So when we look at this, look at the example. God stirred up their nest in Egypt, and the result was they turned to God. Was it hateful? No, it wasn't. God allowed in Acts chapter 8, remember the church is growing in Jerusalem? What if all the Christians just stayed in Jerusalem and thought, well, this is great. We've got the apostles. We have thousands of Christians, and it's dangerous out there, so we're just going to stay in Jerusalem. What did God do in Acts chapter 8? He allowed persecution to come, and that stirred up the nest, and then the Christians went everywhere preaching the word and took the gospel to the world. The result was that the church grew. God allowed Paul to be stirred. He had a thorn in his flesh, and then he says, in weakness, I am made strong. I ask you this question. We like what the scriptures say about God protecting us and preparing a nest for us, but in your stage of life, are you at a position where your nest is being stirred? Things are uncomfortable. Whether it be difficulties you're facing at work, or maybe troubles in your family, hardship, health issues, and you're not comfortable. You've lost a loved one. You're going through a persecution. The government is making things difficult for us to be Christians. We look maybe on this past year, God is definitely stirring things up. And what are we going to do about it? Are we going to complain about it? Or do we know, well, God's prepared me for a purpose. God is going to take care of me. But maybe my nest is being stirred. Things are uncomfortable because it's time for me to empty my nest, to be an eagle, to do my purpose and to fly and soar doing the will of God. Is God stirring your nest? And maybe as a parent, you recognize how it comes time to empty the nest and to be with your children, to give them an opportunity to grow. When we look at this, it helps us understand passages like James chapter 1 and verse 2 through 4, where we read this and it says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." How can I count it all joy when I'm being tested? But maybe in this test, God is stirring me up to get out of my comfort zone and to go do what I need to do for his kingdom to grow. It helps us understand passages like 1 Peter chapter 4 and verses 12 through 16. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. "Behold, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But rejoice." How's it possible to rejoice when trials come? That's not what we want to do. "But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If you are insulted for the name of Christ, you are blessed, because the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or a meddler. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in that name." As you look at these passages, it talks about what a joy it is for us to be stirred up so that we can serve in the kingdom of God. And then Romans chapter 5, 3 through 4 says the same thing, that we can glory in tribulation because it produces patience. So in this heavenly view of God as this eagle encircling his young, preparing a nest, and it comes time to stir the nest, he starts making things uncomfortable, then he empties the nest. And what happens next is the mother stops bringing the food, starts making it uncomfortable. The eagle doesn't want to stay there anymore. And then the eagles will nudge their eaglets to the edge. And you remember how high these trees are. And then we'll actually, if the eaglet doesn't go out on its own, it'll push them out.
Now, notice what
the scriptures say is that God,
go back to Deuteronomy chapter 32, and in verse 11, Deuteronomy 32, 11, like an eagle that stirs up its nest, flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, and bearing them on its pinions. So what eagles will do is they'll push them to the edge, and then will, if they don't jump themselves, they'll push them out, and then if they start to fall, then the mother will swoop down and catch them on its wings and carry them. So that's what God is saying that He's doing for the Israelites, and that's what He does for us. So God prepares our nest, He stirs the nest, and then He empties the nest.
The eagle is meant to fly and not to stay in its nest. In 1782, the bald eagle was so admired that it was selected to represent America. Why was it selected? Not because it stays in its nest. It's because it soars majestically ever upward over an expanding horizon. Eagles are meant to fly and not to stay in the nest. Eagle's vision is so precise it can see forward and sideways. It can see a fish underwater from hundreds of feet in the air. It's 4 times sharper than the human eye. It can see a rabbit 1 mile away. An eagle is not meant to be nest bound. It was meant to soar. So God emptied Israel's nest, stirred them up, and He took them to the promised land. So God does that for us. And so this is the point of the lesson to make the application. Are you in a situation where you're refusing to do what God made you to do? You have opportunities to grow as a Christian, but you want to stay comfortable. Maybe it's opportunity for you to start having people into your home and being hospitable. Maybe it's an opportunity to invite others to come worship or to have a Bible study, to be more courageous in taking the gospel to the lost. Maybe it's an opportunity for you to get more involved in the work of the church, to become a Bible class teacher, or maybe it's to lead a prayer or to give an invitation or learn how to lead singing. And you're comfortable and you just say, I'm just going to stay right here and not grow. You are not meant to be earthbound or nestbound. You are meant to fly ever highward. God is still there, no matter if you're in the nest or your nest is being stirred or you're jumping out of the nest and you're flying. In every stage that we talked about, God was still there. God was caring, providing, watching, ready to catch. God saves, God returns, God renews strength. Flying is what the eagle is made to do. If an eagle doesn't leave the nest, then what's going to happen to the baby eagles? They're going to die. What happened to the first generation that went to the promised land and they refused to go in? They wanted to stay in their nest. They didn't want to go in the promised land. They refused to fly. They didn't have the faith to jump out of the nest, trusting that God would catch them. And as a result, they died in the wilderness. When you think about your children, do you raise your children in an environment where you're just so protective that they don't ever have anything stirred up for them, where they don't feel uncomfortable, where they know that they're too afraid to go out into the world to do what God has called them to do? You as a parent need to prepare the nest. You need to then, when it's time for them to grow, stir the nest, and then you need to be there to help them fly. Those are so important lessons, so many important lessons for us. If you don't leave the nest, then you will die. So how do we fly? As we make application, how do we fly? Well, the eaglets, how did they learn to fly? They were following example of the mother who would hover above the nest and show them what to do. And then they trusted. So they trusted. They had to have vision and they had to wait. What is amazing is that an eagle will sit at the edge of the nest and will wait for the correct wind before it takes flight. And an eagle will also,
according to my research, will only flap its wings for 2 minutes out of 60 minutes in flight. So it's not flying in the wrong direction. It's finding the right breeze or wind, and then it goes in that direction, and it only flaps its wings 2 minutes out of 60 minutes in flight.
When we leave the nest, we need to wait on God and make sure that we're not jumping in the wrong direction or flying in the wrong direction, but that we are flying with the wind of God. And it's interesting that the word for spirit is wind. And as you think about that, we need to make sure we know where the Spirit of God is going based on the revelation and direction of God's word and His will, and that we fly with Him. So maybe you're flapping against the wind. You're going the wrong direction. You're afraid. You need to fly with God. And that's exactly what Jesus did as He was determined to do the will of His Father. What are you, what is keeping you from growing as a Christian? Perhaps tonight you're not a child of God and you're afraid, and God has prepared the way for you. We look at Isaiah chapter 40 and in verse 31, we need to understand the blessing of what it means to become a Christian. Are your families serving God, or are your families staying in the nest? As we look at this lesson, we see the point that God is preparing a way for us. He's going to stir us up so that we can fly in the direction that we need to go. And as I think about this, I want to ask you this as we offer the invitation. In Isaiah 40 and in verse 31, they who wait for the Lord, like that eagle waiting to fly in the direction of God, they wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Are you a child of God? Will you have the courage to step out of the pew, to step out of the nest of the world, or to step out of the situation that you're in and become a child of God? Repent of your sins, confess Jesus as the Son of God, and be born again. The waters of baptism, come in contact with the blood of Jesus. If you are a Christian and you've been flying in the wrong direction, or you've been too comfortable and you need to make a change, learn from the example about how God will provide for you, and that you are meant to fly heavenward and not be earthbound. You need to become a child of God. You need to be restored. Make the decision tonight to get your life right with God. Won't you come as we stand and as we sing?